Hello, everyone. It's Wednesday, June 21st. In compliance with the Open Public Meetings Act, this is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice was posted on the Township Bulletin Board and website, distributed to the Hunterdon Review, Courier News, the Express Times, the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. We're going to stand for the flag salute, and then we're going to have a moment of silence for our first responders, members of the military, and
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call.
Present.
Here.
Here.
Here. Bad weather.
Here.
Okay. First up.
Minutes.
We have the minutes, the first ones in the packet, let's just reverse them. The minutes of the regular and executive session meetings of May 17th, 2023. Any comments? Seeing none, hearing none, can I get a motion to approve?
Make a motion to approve the regular and executive session minutes of May 17th, 2023.
Okay. Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Do you have May 3rds in your packet?
No.
Okay, so we're tabling them? Okay. All righty. Okay, with that, can I get a motion to open a public comment limited to agenda items only?
Make that motion.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. That's it. Seeing none, can I get a motion to close public comment agenda items only?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And with that, we go right to the ordinance opening the public hearing of ordinance number 2023-05, an ordinance repealing Chapter 63, Article 8 of the Code of the Township of Lebanon, County of Hunterdon, New Jersey, entitled Township Administrator. Committee discussion before we open the public hearing?
No comments.
Can I get a motion? Did I say a motion to open the public hearing? I don't know if I did. Okay, can we get a motion to open the public hearing?
I'll make that motion.
Said we didn't, so.
Make a motion to open a public hearing.
Tom said it.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. So with that, any comments from the public?
We'll make a motion to close public hearing.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Is there a motion to adopt ordinance number 2023-05, repealing Chapter 63, Article 8 of the Code of the Township of Lebanon, County of Hunterdon, New Jersey, entitled Township Administrator?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Roll call.
No.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, yep. Go ahead.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. All right. Then we go on to the resolution. Resolutions. The first resolution is number 71-2023, resolution amending resolution number 50-2023, memorializing the approval of purchase of certain computer and computer-related equipment from CDW government under contract ESCNJ/AEPA-22G. Basically, what this was is to add the two servers that were left out of the original quote by the Educational Services Commission. So what we're doing here is adding two servers at a cost of $8,072.36, which is $4,036 per server, one upstairs, one downstairs in police department. And we already approved these. This is just memorializing what we approved by voice vote at the last meeting. So with that, can I get a motion to approve resolution number 71-2023?
I'll make a motion to approve resolution 71-2023.
For the Dell servers, okay.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay, with that, we have the contract for the technology. You're going to have to amend this if we approve it. This is resolution number 72-2023, approving the technology support service agreement with the Hunterdon County Educational Services Commission. And I don't know if there's any, if you want to have any discussion on this one. It's basically the same contract as last year. They added a little more details, and there's a $2 increase from $98 an hour for the outside of the contract technical support. Other than that, everything's the same except that they expanded the website management and content updates to be specific as to what they're going to be doing. And this is July 1st, 2023 through June 30th, 2024.
Yeah. Can we spell technology?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. We're gonna
We can.
Yeah. That was the second
when
one.
When I was typing, I wasn't looking.
Yeah.
Funny I didn't know.
Yeah. I do.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Funny I didn't know.
Yeah. I also don't know if this changes anything. I mean, if we could make the amendment to say, where is the first sentence, whereas the Township of Lebanon is in need of support services for its various technology equipment and website, add software to that. Is that okay?
Fine.
All right. Well, sometimes if it's considered a substantial change.
No.
All right. So we're going to – the motion would be to – approve resolution 72-2023 as amended to fix the word technology in the header and to add the word equipment or software after equipment in the first sentence.
I'll second that motion.
Oh, I didn't make the motion.
Yes, you did.
I said, is there a motion? I said, this is what the motion's going to be.
Did he make the motion?
No. All right, so you make the motion. You second it. All right. Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. Let's see. I said okay again. I can't help it.
Thank you.
Okay, this is a biggie. This is resolution number 73-2023, Deer Management Township Park and Open Space Property. We're going to obviously need a discussion on this before we approve it. Committee discussion?
So, if I understand this correctly, part of this is going to turn into an ordinance, and some of it is included in this in one of these three resolutions.
So, let me explain it.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. So, if you recall from the last meeting, there's a discussion to, this is my term, to possibly for this bow hunting season have a, and again, my term, mentoring type program. Chair of the Open Space Environmental Commission has suggested some language. There was discussion at the last meeting, and then she had sent all of you an email with some modifications. When I looked at the townships annually, and Committeeman Schmidt explained to me, annually you adopt a resolution per the code, which in the code it says that an annual resolution shall be adopted to basically establish the season and then the locations for the hunting, and then it says various procedures. So when I looked at the code, and then within the code section, there are rules and regulations. I think what was being proposed is actually an additional rule and regulation. So what I did was, and because there was discussion, I put the three variations. I did the resolution without any language dealing with the so-called mentoring program, which is basically sets forth the locations, the dates, and that thing that you do annually. And that's the first resolution. Then the second one, and then what I did was, when I made changes, all I did was I like things justified, squared it off, and then just changed it so it looked pretty. Then the second version, what I did was, I included the suggested revisions, and I apologize. Who's it? What's the chairman's name? I forget her name.
Sharon.
Sharon, right.
Yeah.
I
if you look at chapter 12, paragraph 12 is the thing that was changed. I included language that Sharon had proposed in the email that she sent to all of you in the second version, where it talks about having a licensed bow hunter who is at least 18 being able to bring another additional licensed bow hunter, as the so-called, a mentor to bring with this person. And then basically I kept the language that she had suggested in her email. And then the third version was I took the language that Sharon had suggested and then I modified it. And then because it's really should be part of your rules and regulation, and knowing based upon comments at the last committee meeting that there was some uncertainty as to whether or not this is something the township committee wanted to approve, what I did was I added language to indicate as much that, hey, this is a trial for this year only, and to the extent that we believe it's going to be successful, then we're going to allow it for this year. And if we're going to do it in the future, then I think what you need to do is amend the ordinance to include this as a rule and regulation. And then it's, again, for this year only. And then you'll see I expanded it. I set it at the habit of a 21-year-old being able to bring someone as opposed to an 18-year-old. 3 years should make a difference, but you never know. But I think 21's better. Then I also, it modified the language somewhat. And one thing I did add was that I included, in addition from getting written permission from the parent of the person who was being mentored, I had required that those parents also sign a hold harmless agreement in favor of the township as well, because of the fact that it's something that's new. And that's the third reiteration of the resolutions.
So to continue then, it seems to me that if we're not going to do this, or if we're going to at some point in time amend our code or ordinance, then the first one without 12 would probably apply. So we're silent on the issue of it. Otherwise, I think the third one gives us the greatest flexibility. And also I like the fact that it's 21. I mean, I realize that you can get a license at 18, but I think we're talking here about a mentoring program, and it would be nice to have a little bit more maturity on the part of the mentor. And also there's a lot more stipulations with regard to the parent agreements and insurance. The only thing I'm kind of concerned about with this whole issue is that with all these requirements in there, we may not get any willing mentors to do this. But I think we'll get that information if we adopt the third one, where we're saying it's temporary so that we can acquire more information on how good this program will go into the future. So my feeling is that the third one makes the most sense.
That's the one with the trial run, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Jane's going to have, the reporter's going to have a field day with this one, but I was thinking about the 18 versus 21. So I went and I looked up, like, the brain, how it functions from 18 to 21.
24.
Yeah, and they're saying the prefrontal cortex impulse control is different from 18 to 25, actually. But they say even insurance companies, rental car companies, they know that 21 is the better thing because the prefrontal cortex. And, of course, there's exceptions to every rule. I might have been one of them that wasn't. I fit into the first category. The ability to suppress impulses in favor of more appropriate action instead of emotional responses, and also the social acceptance, which came into even cases where if they're in groups, they'll take more risks. So I don't know if I didn't see anything in there about you can't go in packs, like three or four mentors with three or four underlings. I don't know if that matters.
The way it is the way it's written is the 21-year-old who's licensed can only take one person with him, right? So necessarily it would be one-on-one.
But you could have groups. You could have two or three mentors in a group with their little.
I guess potentially. I mean, when people hunt, but I don't know how that is for
some of the lottery type of thing anyway. So.
Yeah.
the properties aren't, the number of licenses per property is limited.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. And that takes care of it.
Oh, right.
Okay. Well, that takes care of that.
So they wouldn't be able to group up.
So.
But all the archers now are licensed.
That's what I was going to put. That addresses your concern.
Right.
Yes.
The keyword was put in there, the.
Yes.
Under 21 so person is licensed.
As long as, right, as long as.
Licensed. They had to go through a course and they're licensed.
They still have to meet all the conditions required under state administrative code in order to obtain a permit, the hunt, or license to hunt.
This is a little, number eight in the line, I don't know what page it is, these aren't paged, I guess any resolution.
The first.
Number eight says permittees are limited to the use of one portable tree stand per permit key. What if it's a buddy stand, two people in one stand? There shouldn't be a problem. It's still one stand, but a lot of times when you're mentoring or hunting with someone, you share the stand. They're oversized. Would that make the, would this language have to be changed? Would that be a concern with the language the way it's written? It's a single stand, but it holds two people. So if you have a, you know, someone teaching or the working with another licensed individual, they could both be in the stand. I don't know if it's an issue or not.
It's beyond me. I've never hunted.
I'm sorry. I'm a little behind. I just read.
So that but that's language that was right. So that's been in there. So explain it again so I understand.
Right. Okay. I'm good with it.
I mean, I think literally it says one stand.
Yes,
right.
But it doesn't specify one stand with one seat.
Right, per permittee.
So your issue is that you could have one stand with multiple seats?
There are two-man stands.
Yeah, would have to,
but it's one stand.
Right.
I think what it was meant to control was that the permittee for a property doesn't put six stands around the property.
Okay, right.
So
that would
be just to keep it unplugged.
Right. Because you can fit more than one person in a tree stand, no?
Well, sometimes there's video, and someone wants the video over the top of the hunter.
Right.
You know?
What about the what's the belt or something? Should have a safety harness versus shall?
My read of that was that covers our liability. We're telling them they should have.
Okay, if it covers the liability.
I mean, it's
every purchase of a tree stand comes with a safety belt.
Yeah.
Whether you use it or not, it's up to you.
And that's the point, but we're telling them to use
right.
it.
Well, you're saying you should use it.
You should use it. It's a legal question.
Was so that one on
Abe
which paragraph?
Which one was the number?
Number three.
Is that the one with the 21-year-old?
Yes.
Yeah.
And 12's included.
The first one doesn't have the additional language, doesn't it? Right. The last one has the paragraph 12, but beefed up. And at 21.
All right. If you look at the different properties where you're looking for the safety harness, if you look under A, Anthony Preserve, B, all of them have the same thing. The last sentence, hunting on Sundays, permittees using elevated tree stands on township property should use a full-body safety harness. The only reason I'm thinking about it isn't to restrict people as much as litigation. If somebody falls out, is it better for us to have had shall versus should? Because you know how shall is.
Well, look, I think the same thing is, right, the idea is that it's there, and it's like a seatbelt, right? People should be using their seatbelts.
So
the fact is, I think you're still covered. Yeah.
All right, well, as long as you think we're still covered.
I think you're all right with that.
So then the motion would be to go with option number 3. We're going to have to give it a resolution number. 7320, we're going to have to make it 73-2023.
Right.
And it's the option that has the 21
correct
for the mentor age, and also it has a trial in it.
It does.
And it has the trial. Is there anything else that I missed?
I included language about in addition from getting written permission from the parent or guardian that the parent or guardian would also sign a hold harmless agreement in favor of the thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which I can prepare, so they have it.
Do I have a motion to that effect?
Yeah, I'll make that motion for 73-2023.
I'll second that motion.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay, next up is Resolution 74-2023, approving purchase of Robinier air conditioning cart for the Township's Department of Public Works in the amount of $4,099. This is it's a device that they can service the air conditioning unit in the different trucks that we have. And it was recommended by Warren Gabriel at the DPW.
And the money was approved in the capital
and budget. Certified, yes.
Although it would be coming from the ARP.
Oh, you're going to do A. Does that matter?
Nope.
Okay.
Source of funds.
Okay.
That's the back end.
All right. Okay.
And just to explain the vote that I'll be making on it, this came before us last year, mm-hmm. and there were a number of questions raised on it, and to my knowledge, the questions weren't fully answered, and I'll still be voting no for this purchase.
Any other questions?
There were some very technical questions about having a multi-purpose machine versus two or three different single-purpose machines, which actually the multiple machines would cost less. I think the biggest question was how often is it used? Because if you're not in the business of using it, then apparently the oil collects humidity and then the machines don't work as well. So the question is, if it's not used a lot for $4,000, should we send our trucks over to one of the local shops that does use them a lot? And I've never heard how often we use it or what the need to own versus send out for this is.
Was this discussed with Warren or what? I mean, because it's kind of in limbo right now, right?
The questions were addressed to Warren. I'm not sure. I never heard the answers to them. I wasn't
talking about last year.
Liaison last year.
Right.
So maybe they've been answered.
No, okay.
I mean, I hear you, but it's, to me, it's pretty straightforward. Otherwise, for another year or two, we're not going to have this thing, and it's going to be a pain.
And he may not be able, I just thought about it, he may not be able to get the trucks into the place to get serviced on a day when they really need to be serviced. If they have to go out all day.
Yeah. I mean, maybe he was never explained.
Okay. Yeah, we can get answers.
I'm going to make a motion to approve ADOPA Resolution 74-2023, approving the purchase of the air conditioning cart.
Second.
All right. You can have it.
Who seconds?
You did. You can have it, he said. Go ahead, you can have it. Roll call?
No.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. Said it again. Okay.
Thank you.
Next up is a resolution number 75-2023, approving the purchase of a HOMAC toolbox. Now, what happened here is, I guess, he's got a toolbox, and the hinges, they can't get them replaced by the manufacturer. They don't make the parts anymore, and the item is rusty.
It's bad.
Okay, so I told him, I asked him today, where's the old one going? And he said to scrap.
Scrap.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
It's like 30 years old.
Okay. So, any discussion on that item?
Just put it on the record, the funds would also come from the ARP for this.
Okay. ARPA funds. Is there a motion to approve resolution number 75-2023 for the purchase of HOMAC toolbox for Township Department of Public Works?
I'll make a motion to approve resolution number 75-2023 for approving purchase of HOMAC toolbox.
HOMAC.
HOMAC.
HOMAC. I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 I kept reading it as honky tonk today for some reason. I saw the HOTO. Okay. Next up is Resolution 76-2023, awarding contract to Tree King Incorporated for tree removal under Morris County Cooperative Pricing Council, contract number 18. Any discussion on that one?
The only thing I'd like to clarify on this is that I think we should emphasize the fact that the trees that have been selected, cut down, these are on private property. They're in the right-of-way, so we have the right to cut them down, but they've been selected for the purpose of public safety. Because the conversation that's come up over the years is another neighbor's going to come along and say, you cut their trees. I have a dead tree on my front lawn. Why aren't you cutting my tree? And we've had residents over the years that have cut their own trees. So I think to be very clear, these have been selected for public safety. We're not, you know, it's $25,000 to cut a fairly short list of trees.
Mm-hmm.
We've always worried about getting in the business of mm-hmm. cutting trees on roads, 75 miles of roads.
I think in Warren's letter he explains
it does,
that.
And that's what I'm just emphasizing.
It's a short list, too. That's
it's a short list prioritized for
public safety. It goes by the diameter of the tree is the cost.
The cost does.
Yeah, it depending on the kind of equipment and the small spaces or whatever spaces.
I think he explains that, you know, trees that are dropping.
On roads where it's a public safety. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I went around right after that storm last week and took pictures and things because I'm trying to see if we can supplement this $40,000 in our budget with some kind of grant money. You know, it's got to be a plan here. JCP&L is talking to me tomorrow about things they have to do with certain homeowners' permission, but it's like it's a big project, and it's got its parts. We have to kind of separate it and then see where we can get extra money. Because this short list, I couldn't believe, you know, for how much money for just a tiny list.
That's what I'm just emphasizing. These were selected for public safety.
And some of them I couldn't find. I think they might have fallen down or somebody cut them already. I don't know. So I was, you know, picking up dead trees off the road, too, while I was driving around. Okay, so with that, can we get a motion to approve Resolution 76-2023, awarding the contract to Tree King?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay, here's another one with a typo in the header.
G and I, because I use the same...
Resolution number 77-2023, awarding contract to Lebanon Door for replacement of three garage doors and openers at fire station number 3. I don't know if you want to talk about the doors at all, but there looks like there's insulation in these doors, too. I don't know.
I hope so. We better be.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Half the purpose of it.
Yeah. So basically, any discussion on that? So the amended resolution for the motion would be awarding contract to Lebanon Door LLC for, just fix the word replacement, add an E after the C, of three garage doors and openers at fire station. And just for before we go to the motion, would you explain the second whereas? I was having a hard time understanding. Authorizes the solicitation of at least two competitive quotations if practical in certain instances where the contract for services is less than the bid threshold but 15% or more of that amount. Mm-hmm. What is that amount?
$6,600.
Okay, but this is 50.
That's why you have to get the two quotes.
All right, but it's 15% or more. Okay, so that makes sense then.
You're right. You're under your QPA, under statute, your QPA can award contracts up to $44,000 without going out the bid.
Right.
Under local public contracts law, there's a section 48:11-6.1 that says that the language that you just quoted, that when you have, you can go up to your quote threshold without soliciting quotes. 15% of 44,000 gets you to 6,600. So anything under 6,600, you don't have to get quotes.
All right.
If the good or service is going to exceed 6,600, then again, if practical, you go out and at least try to solicit two quotes. Because again, the idea is competition. Make sure you get the best price.
Okay. So the bid threshold being 44,000, and 15% of that would be
6,600.
So now I get
which is your quote threshold.
Okay.
And if you're fixing typos, the format for the last be a further resolved dropped in R for the next couple.
Yeah, it did.
Resolutions.
Where is that?
Be a further resolved.
Okay. Last line on page.
Oh, he's over here. Be a further resolved. Got a copy of it. Oh, yeah. Okay. Do I have a motion as amended? With the E and the header and the word replacement, and with the R added to the first sentence, the last sentence on the first page, be it further resolved.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. Paperwork. Next up is Resolution 78-2023. Historians request to spend up to $1,000 from the trust account to hire a historic architect and $200 from the trust account to offset the cost of the historian's annual picnic. Any discussion?
A couple of questions here. The annual picnic is a social event, as I understand it. So the resolution doesn't state the trust that's being used here. I think it's
I only had certain information, so I don't.
In the township code, chapter 40,
right.
The trust is set up as the Reserve for Museum Donations Trust Fund.
Okay.
So that's chapter 40, section 6. That indicates that describes the uses of that fund. The fund shall be used for purposes related to the operation, improvement, or maintenance of the museum or museum property, etc. I don't see a social event as a lawful use of the trust fund. So I don't think the $200 for a picnic can come out of
if it's in the code. The code talks out
the code
what
gives
the purposes,
and I don't see that as one of the purposes. Right. It also section 40-6B gives the procedure for the historian committee bringing a request to our committee, which is a majority vote of the historians. And this states that the chairperson of the historians submitted a request.
It was on behalf of all the historians. I think that the only thing I had was a memo.
I understand. But, you know, we're now going by the book. I think we should reference what trust we're talking about. The whole purpose of doing all these resolutions is to create the...
I agree.
Well,
The architect is a...
Right, and that was, you know, voted on by
as
the...
As long as it was. As long as it's certified.
And they also voted on the $200. It was increased from $150 to $200 because they're extending the offer to some of the past historians to join them. So this has been done annually for quite a few years. But
personally, I don't think it's a good use of public funds, but I think they do have a budget, an operating budget to take it out of, because I don't believe it's a permitted use of the...
They did have some issues with the operating budget. After all the dust settled after the budget, it was realized that they weren't properly being deducted from their museum historian budget. So it seemed like they had more money left over than they really had. It was taken from different areas. We're trying to straighten that problem out. Mm-hmm. So they're a little tight on their budget this year, as you recall. So I think maybe we make an exception here and we leave this come out of the museum trust fund, if the attorney agrees, because we've cut them a little short on their museum budget this year, which I think is at 50% already right now. It's halfway through the year, but it's 50%.
Is it lawful?
Well, look, it's like, and again, I wasn't, when I had asked about the trust, I wasn't made aware that there was a trust. I thought it was a trust established in the part of the, as part of the budget, right? A dedicated trust account. So to sometimes there's provisions where a governing body can ask, and if there's a waiver provision saying that, you know, that they can waive the request or waive the requirements. Again, I'm not familiar with the detail of what the provision is. But you would have to make the determination that the ordinance states what it states, and then you're granting a waiver. I don't like to create procedures that, you know, I haven't done before, because then you establish precedent. From the perspective, you have the ordinance that says what it says, you should hold fast to that.
Yeah, I would say split it. I would say pass what you can tonight. It's not like the $200 is needed immediately. It's the picnic's, what, September? So I would say if we can amend this, I don't know if it needs to go back and we table both of them, or I'd rather not hold up the architect.
Well, I think you can, just from to the extent that it has a provision relative to the $200 of the trust account for the annual picnic, just we can strike that portion of the...
It's in here a couple of places, right, though.
So just we'll strike that portion of the resolution.
All right.
Could we add the name of the trust?
The trust account in the code section.
What is it again, Mike? What's the name of the trust account?
Reserve for Museum Donations Trust Fund. In the code,
museum
chapter 40-6A.
Trust Fund.
Yeah, we'll find somebody to donate.
Chapter 40, section 6A.
Yep.
Okay. So the motion is going to be to approve resolution 78-2023, striking all references to the $200 for the picnic and putting the proper fund name, which is reserved for Museum Donations Trust Fund, Chapter 40, Section 6A. I don't think we need the 6B, the process information in here, do we, that you mentioned before?
You could add
section. No, I mean, again.
Because they did vote on it.
Section 6.
Yeah, right.
Section 6.
I think it'll be fine.
All right, let's put Section 6. Okay, so we'll just work on amend. That's going to be the motion. And
the
then
motion is amended.
You'll just update it and get it to me and we'll get it to the clerk.
So you're excluding it?
Excluding the $200 piece. We'll put it on for the next meeting. So that's good. Well, you want to do it the right way. You want it to be legal, in my opinion. Follow the ordinance. Consistency.
So do we need a motion on
yeah,
this?
Yeah, I'm just taking some notes here for a second. Yeah, so is the motion...
You adopt the resolution as amended.
Yeah.
78-2023.
Yeah.
Can I make a motion to adopt 78-2023 as amended?
As amended, yes. Okay. I just want to put a follow-up here on my tickler file. Okay. Okay, thank you. Anybody going to second that? I'll second it. Roll call?
Yes.
No.
No.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Next up is Resolution 79-2023, the update on the municipal doors. Do you want to talk to this, Mike, at all?
I mean, this is formalizing what the committee agreed to at the February 1st, 2023 meeting, which is that we confirmed the order originally placed in 2018 for entryways outside this meeting room and then further down at the vestibule, including side lights, all the equipment, all the moldings and things to put it in. The terms following the list of purchasing rules, we don't pay anything up front, but it's cash on delivery. The vendor has indicated it's expected to be, the doors are expected to be delivered to them, yes, this year, July,
it's been going on
late July.
4 years.
So this is to have the check in place for that delivery and memorializing the contract terms. I don't know if there's anything else legally you want to add to
that. Fine.
The total amount is $22,630.76.
Okay, now, that whole other piece with the labor, how is that going to be handled with the framing?
That's
you have to solicit quotes again, I think.
That's going to go to buildings and grounds. Once the doors arrive, was it the plan to have the door come to the site?
Yeah, the plan, it'll get to the vendor July 20th, and we'll schedule, or that's the date forecast, we'll schedule the delivery date to get it here.
I think Mike was right. I mean, that the quote is a little stale from 2018, so you can...
We had a vendor lined up in 2018.
Yeah. Right.
We're waiting to see the doors in the building. And
again, just based upon, I mean, I'm sure prices haven't gone down.
No.
So it'll again exceed the quote threshold. So once you get it in, you get some solicitation.
Now explain to me what you were saying about you have to be careful because it could impact your DPW if you're going out for quotes or something. You mentioned something.
The overall value, like when you it impacts the whether or not you need to go out to bid, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to look at it as a package. So you look at the cost of the doors, cost of the labor, see what that value is. It's got to stay under $44,000.
Based upon
the quote that you had from 18, mm-hmm. it would be under 44,000, right?
Okay.
So if it exceeds 44 together, you can't do contracts piecemeal and try to get away around the bidding requirements.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that happen, and I've seen township get jammed up where the state comes in and they come after this. They come after the municipality and they find the municipality,
mm-hmm.
not the vendor.
So. Well, you're going to wait for the doors to come before we go out for the quotes.
That's
for the labor.
Warren is aware of it and mm-hmm. has, you know, he's putting feelers out.
Okay.
He's got a plan. We just don't have it yet.
All right. Well, that's good to know.
And this gets an E and an R as well.
What's that?
This gets an E and an R as well.
Yeah. E and an R.
They stay consistent.
The placement and further.
Oh. Okay.
If you're looking for a motion, I'll...
Yeah, make that motion.
...to adopt Resolution 79-2023.
As amended.
As amended.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Okay. Next up, we have Resolution Number 80-2023, approving the renewal of plenary retail consumption license for the Rock Corporation, number 101944-008-002. Let's see. The applicant is qualified to be licensed. The applicant has paid the filing fee of $200 to the state of New Jersey and a township license fee of $2,500. And they are also known as Bourbon Street Wine and Liquor, 425 Route 513 in Califon, New Jersey. Is there a motion to approve Resolution Number 80-2023?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. I'm going to abstain from that.
Okay. All right. Next up, these were... I don't know if you, resolutions 81 and 82, 2023, we'll take them individually, but they came in at the last minute. There was a lot of follow-up required to try to make sure that they got in on time, or it was going to cause a lot of problems. So,
yeah, so you know, the liquor license have to renew by June 30th, mm-hmm. And then if they don't have it in place, then the persons could lose their liquor license. I know Karen had indicated they're waiting for information. You have to get stuff from the state, so.
And we also could end up losing it in the township.
Correct.
And not be able to get another one because we may have
population
a couple too many based on the population. Grandpa. So,
yeah.
You know, a lot of work by Kim and Karen on these. All right, so 81-2023 is, because they got mixed up, is for El Patron Mexican Restaurant. Resolution renewing plenary retail consumption license, and that's El Patron on Route 31. So do I get, let me just make sure.
That's 82.
Well, she's, yeah,
it's
but they're,
agenda 82, but
they got
right.
mixed up somehow. Yeah. So what do you want to do? You want to, it's.
Just make it 82. On the resolution.
All right. Okay. So that's what we'll do. So 82 is going to be El Patron Mexican Restaurant.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. Then next up is resolution number, this will be 81.
83.
That's 81.
81.
It's right on the agenda.
81.
It's
yeah. It's just mixed up.
81-2023,
which is for... Tony's Restaurant and Pub, Califon, New Jersey, doing business as ATK? Is that what that is, Kim?
I think it's ATK Inc. trading as Tony's Restaurant.
Yeah. Now, the ATK is not in this resolution, does
just,
it?
Just amend it to include if that's it.
All right.
ATK Inc., capitals ATK Inc.
Include ATK Inc. in resolution. Okay. So... is there any discussion or a motion to approve Resolution Number 81-2023 for Tony's Restaurant and Pub, Califon, New Jersey, amended to include ATK, Inc., as their doing business name as?
Make that motion. Amended.
Okay. Abe seconded it. So roll call?
Yes.
Yes.
Recused.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Red Mill Race Preserve. I'll let Brian take over. This is the engineer's report for the Red Mill Race Preserve project.
Okay. Not sure I'm taking over, but...
Well, you did all the work.
The engineer did the work, really. Mm. Everybody's read what we have here, and everybody will have to, I guess, speak up what their thoughts are moving forward.
How many parking spaces is going to be created?
3 to 5, I thought, right?
That was the last number we heard.
No more than 5 was the plan.
So for 5 at the most parking spaces, we're going to spend $17,000?
No.
Yeah, that's just maybe a start.
Yeah, exactly.
Apparently, it's a Class 1 protected DEP, protected stream, according to the engineer. The entire property can't be touched without DEP
right.
approval.
Sure. No, I'm just questioning the value of spending $17,000 for 3 to 5 parking spaces. How often is that area being used?
Not really at all that I know of, other than parking on the shoulder and walking in there. But that's just, this is just the estimate to get started. This has nothing to do with the construction yet.
Could I make a comment or two if you're done reducing it? So
this is getting, talk louder because this is
clearly by taking the open space committee out of the discussion, starting fresh, going to the engineer, saying what would it take to construct off street parking on that site, the project has just gone off the rails. There was never a thought to create bid specs, go out to bid to a union construction company and create a parking lot. As Abe said, we would never spend $17,000 to do that. I think the question for the committee is like I said two meetings ago, if you want to kill the project, let's kill it without spending even what we've already spent on it. If you want the USC to try to get it back on the rails, here's what they had done. And this work was done last year, Brian, before you were on the committee, so I know you keep saying it got off to the wrong start, but...
Good. Say everything you got to say, because I have a comeback.
Okay, good. So the point is, the engineer noted correctly, it's Green Acres property. What he wasn't told was, it's township property purchased with Green Acres funds. A parking area that supports an outdoor recreation or conservation project is a Green Acres approved use. In the acquisition, this area was already Green Acres approved for 5 parking spots. He points out we need Highlands approval. Highlands exemption number 4, reconstruction for any reason of a building or structure, is an exemption from Highlands approval. So if it would have Highlands approval, we wouldn't need that. Going through to, as we've tried to emphasize, and the USC asked to be involved in this, they were excluded from the meeting, so they haven't been able to have this input to the engineer.
What meeting were they excluded from?
When you met with the engineer?
I met over at 7:30 more for 10 minutes with the engineer.
Yep.
I wouldn't consider that a meeting.
Okay. Whatever that was, they were excluded from that.
Right. Okay. Well, we were excluded from being disclosed the category that stream was. Why didn't you not tell the committee that when we're going for a grant? That was not very transparent. And you made you and Sharon made a thing about me being courteous.
I don't know what grant you're talking about now.
You're not applying to get money for a grant to do this work?
That was for the Eagle Scout fence project. That was a side part of this.
Well, we're going to have the DPW go in there and do work, correct?
Yep.
Why was not that disclosed? I mean, you've been the open space coordinator. You've been the involved in the EOSC driving things for years here. Why didn't you just come out and begin and say that?
Okay, by the way, so you're asking about the fence. The fence?
I didn't say anything about the fence. I'm talking about the whole project right here.
Okay.
The parking spots. The parking spots and the fence is the same project.
Let me just say the construction of the fence would be exempt under permit by Rule 20 of the DEP, provided no trees are cut. Class 1 stream notwithstanding that. What's the purpose of the fence? The fence was just to delineate the parking area, so...
Right, parking area. So you're back to the construction.
Mayor, let me know when I can have the floor to make a statement here.
All right, one at a time.
Discussion.
Let me know when finish my.
I don't think it was presented to the committee properly. This grant that we were applying for got rushed into us, and I don't think you disclosed everything that should have been disclosed. And then you want to turn around and say I'm trying to kill the thing, when I said I wanted to get it done correctly and safely with the fence. So, saying that I'm not courteous, you can say that all you want. You're not going to, break my heart or something. So go ahead with your facts. Go ahead. Keep on going.
Okay. So the project as envisioned.
Now it's a project again. Right. Okay. We're back to a project.
The project as envisioned was to refurbish existing impervious surface to driveway areas on the property that have been there 50 years or more. Under rule by permit number 2, DEP permit rule by number 2, you can get an exemption for repair of lawfully existing structure, permit by rule number 3, in-kind replacement of lawfully existing structure. So the plan was, the proposal was, to add stone to an existing stone driveway, get those two permit by rule exemptions so that we could do the work. No one was talking about violating DEP rules. No one was talking about contaminating wetlands. This had been thought out. The engineer wasn't presented with these. The engineer was, according to him, given the instructions, determine the steps needed to construct off-street parking. And if that's where we're going, I agree, we're not going to do that, because we're never going to satisfy a new parking lot on this property. $17,000, he doesn't even get to the ADA compliant signage and everything else that's going to be required. So that's okay. Where we are. This,
all right,
this
but is, you, this you is name these real. Permit numbers, right? Were they applied for?
No.
Were we told about it?
This was brought to the committee for the committee to review whether we should move forward discussing with the.
But there was no real. You gave us no real details. So that this issue may come in front of us, like here we are.
There was never a chance to. The EOSC was asking to provide to be in this discussion.
You're not going to get anywhere with a discussion of me meeting the engineer to say this is what they're proposing, because you proposed the parking lots in there. You staked out an area, correct?
Existing.
Down the hill into what is considered where you can see potential wetland vegetation.
I don't think there's room for discussion here. I think
no, there is no room for discussion because I'm right and you're wrong.
Okay.
So, that's how I feel about it. You went out there and you went down on that ground and you staked out. Where was my invite for that? Was I invited?
Yes, I can say that.
All right, let's not get into this.
You could have got the whole committee out there if we would have planned it.
Let's stop this right now and decide what we're going to do going forward here.
I make a motion that we just not go forward with this.
I second that motion.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. Next up, I was just going to give an update on the New Jersey DOT grant. Our engineer is going to apply for a road grant. He didn't have the resolution ready, but he has to apply by July 1st. But he looks like he's had some snags with getting some permissions that he needs that I'm going to have to work with him on. So I don't know. Can we do this by a voice vote for him to? I hate to lose the money.
Well, I don't know what the voice vote's for.
It would be for to. Let me have it right here. Applications will now be accepted for the New Jersey Department of Transportation Fiscal Year 2024 State Aid Programs. The deadline for the grant application submissions is July 1st. Grant awards are expected to be announced in November.
So it's
and there are a couple of categories.
Allow him to proceed with filing.
Yeah, to filing the application.
Yeah, that's fine. You can do it.
Yeah, and it's for there are a couple of categories. You've got Transit Village, Bikeway, Safe Streets to Transit. He would be applying for the municipal aid for the roads.
That's fine.
We've consistently applied that over the years.
Right. Anybody want to make that motion? To give the engineer the approval to go ahead and fill out the application. I will work with...
submit the application.
Submit the application. I will...
Filling it out without submitting...
Right. I will work with him to get him some of the missing information he needs.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. So now we have... the HUD update, I put that on myself just because everybody's probably wondering where this $750,000 grant that we received, the award of last year, but we haven't accepted the money. I had the engineer go back and look at it just to make sure that we understood what the restrictions were, if any, with using this money. We don't want to, not accept money and then find out later that we need to do things or have to do things that we don't want to do. So there's been a lot of running around on that. The engineer didn't have the original, going back about 2 months, he didn't have the answers to specific questions about the grant. So I ended up Googling around, and I found the New Jersey grant officer, and I just took a chance and emailed her. She's down in Washington, D.C., and lo and behold, she emailed me back. So I got all the grant documents, which includes a grant guide, the grant agreement, the HUD form, and I'm just going to continue to update you on the status, but there was something I wanted to talk about. Teresa Haight, I think her name was. She was here speaking. Haight? Haight. Okay. She was concerned about Sun Mountain. If we do get this grant, Sun Mountain was expected to be paved. So nobody had the phone number to reach Aqua. So, again, I called. I got a first at Pine Ridge. It just rang with no answer. I finally called Phillipsburg, and I told them what we were doing or possibly doing within the next 9 months or so. They gave me the contact name of their foreman at Aqua, and we discussed coordinating the project so that we don't pave and everything gets ripped up. So I have his cell number now, which is really great. And he said to me that, and you guys know this, the water mains are in good shape. They're 10 years old, but there could be manufacturer's defects. You can't guarantee that they're not going to leak, but he does have a leak detector company that they use. So I'm thinking that probably what we want to do is before we pave, if we take this grant money, you're laughing because I sent you this whole email, right? So is have, even if they won't pay for it, maybe part of the grant money can be used to have the leak detection company come out, because they just did come out because of the water pressure being low, filling pools and all that. They weren't sure if there was a leak or if there was something else going on. So they can tell if there's a leak, that pipe would have to be taken up. And he did tell me now that most of the problems now are at the customer's property. So it's really not going to affect what we're doing with our millings and pavings. But knowing what he knows now, he said he can have his crew fix, I don't know what these are, valve boxes now so that the milling and paving won't be disturbed. I think they might be at the round the curb area or something. Kim's shaking her head. I don't know how you know that.
I got one.
Oh, okay. So anyway, that's that. And having his cell phone number is like gold, which is good. So this way, you know, we made contact. He understands what's going on, and he's going to have that in his mind as we go forward. So more to follow on the grant itself and then the whole paving over at what they call the Sun Mountain Development, which includes all those roads, East Orchard, West Orchard. I guess there's a couple of different – High View. Anyway, they're aware of it. That was just an update. So next up is park committee appointments. I have a letter here from Joanne Letters, who's the chair of the park committee. The park committee has selected the following community members, Heidi McKee and Jane Kent, to fill our two vacancies. The committee believes that these two potential volunteer members will be active and dedicated members. They have a long history of community volunteerism. We look forward to their participation and to being part of our group. Thank you for your consideration. This is a mayoral appointment, and it's a one-year appointment. They'll fill it till the end of this year, and then the next mayor will be able to reappoint or not reappoint, whatever they want to do. So with that, I'm going to take their recommendation this time and appoint Heidi McKee and Jane Kent
to fill an unexpired term.
Huh?
To fill unexpired terms.
And yeah, I guess it would be. Okay. To fill unexpired terms, unexpired one-year term. Effective immediately.
Congratulations. Thank you for volunteering.
Yeah. Oh, yes. No, we don't.
No, there's a mayoral appointment.
Appointment. Yeah. Thanks for saying that, though, because you just, you know. So we have to keep our eyes on each other. Okay. This is me again. I'm just going to give you an update on the IT installation. So basically, we're less than a month away from complete technology upgrade for the entire municipality, not the fire department, because they're in a separate, they have their own stuff that they work with out of their own budget. The networks have been installed, the firewalls are installed, the switches are installed, wireless access points have been installed, and we now have 3 instead of 2 wireless access points, which gives us larger coverage area, and they are significantly faster as well. So there's one over there and there's one down there. I saw them. I walked around with John from the ESC the other day. We have 2 battery backups installed in the building, which will improve the performance between what they call, it's browning, they call it. It's when the power goes out and the generator kicks on, there's like a gap, and it's fluctuating voltage at that point. So that will keep that from happening. It'll be much more efficient. The DPW is done with computers. The municipal building and the police department computers, while we're waiting for the servers, have all been updated. with windows and the drivers, and we're just waiting for the servers. The museum is done, and there's one good thing about the museum, that we're going to purchase something called a Google Chromecast device, and it connects to the wireless network and then plugs into the TV via the high-definition monitor interface, and it'll make the museum TV a smart TV, which will give the museum staff computer screen casting from their new computer to the TV, and then some. You'll be able to have visitors present from their device onto that screen. You can stream from the History Channel, the YouTube channel. It comes with a remote. It's a really nice little feature for $53. So I think it's really great, because right now they have a clunky, like old laptop there that's plugged into the back of the TV. It's not going to really do much. That's what it was being used for. So this device is going to – they were very happy, I understood, when John talked to them about this. So what's remaining is the servers have to come in. We're going to decommission the old servers, add the new PCs to the new servers, train this, and we're training the staff as we're installing it's funny, I asked him, because I think about the backup IT. If we have to have – if John can't make it, or somebody at the ESC can't get here – having a backup IT before we cut one loose. And he explained to me, I'm not technical, but it's like having two cleaning people for your house, but only one has a set of keys, because you need the permissions and the administrative rights, and you might not want to give that to somebody else. And Kim's shaking her head. Yes, she understands. So I met with John, and we're trying to tighten up some of the processes so that this way we can get what we really need here. If John can't make it, somebody else over there can. And then the other part about it is the software. Now that we have access to OneDrive, it saves everything. It auto backs up to the cloud virtually. Everything gets backed up to the individual's OneDrive, whether it's a document they're working on. So if the computer is lost or catches on fire, the data is still there. And the exceptions would be state software. For example, Edmunds, I think, is what the accounts payable clerk uses, and then also the tax collector, tax assessor software, and the police, which it's controlled by the state in some cases, depending on which software program they're using. The website, I had a sit down with John the same day we went through this status update, and he's meeting with GoDaddy on three issues that I asked him to meet about. One of them is we shouldn't need to update the browser to see updates every time. And I've had to update it 5 times sometimes, my browser. And he thought it was just my devices, but it's not, because he went in there and he did it on Gail's, and he was having the same problem. And he goes, oh. So he's got to meet with GoDaddy on that. And then it may be Google-related. Google may have to talk to GoDaddy, but every once in a while there's a position that we used to have that we no longer have that shows up. When somebody goes to our website, the page shouldn't be there. I'm not going to get into any more detail other than that. So they're working on that. And then also, I still, even though he says we can't, I told him, go back one more time to GoDaddy and ask, can we have a pop-up that Kim or I or somebody around here can use to update for emergencies? Because the way it stands now, he thought we could do that, but you'd have to give us access over here to the whole entire site, and that's not what we want to do. And he doesn't want to do that either. So we just want to have a pop-up. I don't know where I'm just going to keep trying. There's got to be a way to put men on the moon and try to get a pop-up. I think that's it for my update on the IT, but this has been a very long journey. It started last August. And it's like pulling teeth, but it's finally, we're birthing the baby. So, next up is new business, museum well pump.
Yeah, I had the curator come to me, and I was at a meeting, one of the historian meetings, and the topic came up about the well and the denial of the boards that surround the well. There's an old hand well pump there, and it's tied into the actual water system of the museum. But the decking that surrounds that is curling up and kind of has existed its length of life that it's going to be existing. And this has been talked about prior. Mike was involved with it, and now I've gotten involved with it. And I think the best thing to do, and I've talked to Brian about this, is probably remove that wood decking, let's call it, and just put something back simple like a curbing in stone for now to do that. And Brian, there was a couple other things that you thought, and I agreed with you at the time, is that that well is able to use, in my understanding, that anyone can come up there and get a drink of water. We're not so sure that's the right thing to be doing, although it is the same water that is in the museum. We're not so sure that we should be having that well like that. So the consideration might be to somehow put a lock on that hand pump well and then put a gravel base around the well, and that's about the extent that we're going to do at this point. So that's my take on it. I mean, if you have any, and I'm working with Brian because Buildings and Grounds and Warren and DPW probably would get involved in it.
I have nothing to add. I agree. Just out of the hand pump's not used. You don't want someone coming and just start drinking out of that. That's pedaling down the road or something and get sick from it. You know, if they have an event or something, they need water, then they can run the water through and make sure it's clean or what have you.
So I guess what I am looking for is for the committee agrees that we move forward and have Brian work with Warren on this to improve the situation at the exterior old hand pump well at the museum as we spoke.
Is that a motion?
I'll make that motion that we have Brian and DPW supervisor work to remove the existing decking, to place a lock on the well pump, and to put some type of pressure-treated in-ground contact curbing and stone in between that at this point. And then if the historians want to move forward next year's budget, they can do something else. But for now, that's my motion.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Next up is the museum fence.
All right, I'll start this off again. This issue with the fence was brought to my attention, and there were some concerns because of picnic benches and the location of these picnic benches. I had passed this off to the township administrator 2.5 years ago, and nothing really proceeded with it. There was eventually, before the gentleman left his position with the town, he handed me a picture of a split rail fence that would border that area that leads to kind of a sloping terrain to the Musconetcon River. And I don't know at this point if the picnic area is still being used or not. I can't tell you for sure if the picnic tables are there. I know there's some kind of flags hanging there to make your attention that, you know, where you are in relationship to the downward slope of the land at that point. So nothing has become of it. There was a discussion about a fence, or the other object is just to remove the picnic tables if it continues to be a concern.
Didn't the insurance company have weigh in on it? Didn't the insurance company weigh in on it at some point?
They were concerned, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think what, as I remember it, what Warren's original concern was, if kids are there, especially there's gravel around the annex, mm-hmm. and if they're, you know, have kids, they play, and if they slip and slide, they could go over. It's a pretty significant drop. And that was...
At some areas it may be, yes.
Yeah.
Well, I think we should have a fence there no matter what, picnic tables or not. Could be something for Boy Scouts, Mike, or a project.
Well, I mean, I would note that project is in a listed historic district, and we're not fully aware that it would have to be approved. But any fence design would need to be in keeping with the 1823 period of the school and would require state sign-off.
So I do think that the fence picture that was chosen at that time was a split rail fence, which would probably meet that time frame. Split rail is pretty.
Is your mic on? Somebody yelled up.
My light's on. I don't know what else to say.
So,
I mean, my personal view on it is that it's not a cliff, it's not a bluff, it's not a precipice, it's a change in slope. the school has been there for 200 years. I'm not aware of any injury. Yes, you could slip and twist an ankle. It's a steep slope. But I think the simpler solution would be if people think the picnic tables are too close to the edge, move the picnic tables away. But I don't have a strong feeling either way. I just think this fence isn't going to be inexpensive, and the township has a lot of other priorities. I mean, I'm half looking out behind Station 2. We've got sheds that are rotting. We've got cracks in walkways and lots of other things.
Well, we also remember recently installed that parking lot that runs down alongside the museum, and there's nothing there to stop any vehicles, no guardrail.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, that's what I mean. We
I mean, that's all has to be considered part of that.
Yep. There had been a... we recently installed, might have been new stone on it, because that parking lot's been there longer than I've been around.
Well, it goes all the way right down to the edge now.
But there had been a log on the bottom.
Oh, whatever, but
there
just trying to make
some
it safe.
Sort of
but
yeah. As they plow snow, it builds up. I agree that right now the log, you'd go right over, but I don't know what...
Do you want to weigh
I'm
in
not against
legal perspective?
I don't know enough of the situation, but, I mean, there's no pathways cut where you're talking about where those picnic tables are, right?
There's no pathways over the slope,
right.
No. In fact, the property ends 10 feet beyond the slope, then it's state Fish and Wildlife property.
Yeah, the only thing I would say is, consider signage, but if, in fact, there was, sometimes people create pathways that because they just walk through and they cut through and they're not supposed to, but they do it.
I'm not aware of that.
Yeah, that's the only thing I would say. And if there's not,
well,
let
can
me
we
ask
apply to the, I had that down here, the historical, what's the proper,
the state is
preservation public. Office?
They don't give grants, they
well, not for a grant, but for approval.
That can be done, huh?
Let me ask, did the insurance company put anything in writing about this?
Not that I've seen. That was with the township administrator at that time.
Can we get a price for this fence so that we have something to consider?
I think that Brian and I should work a little bit on this and investigate a little bit more.
Because fences could create an attractive nuisance, too. Depending on where it's located, could become an attractive nuisance. Right? I climb fence, and split rails are always fun to climb.
Or to sit on and
awkward on. Exactly, right? That's just, you invite, so you...
Well, then, what that sounds like is the picnic table should be moved.
Well, that would seem that like an easy solution.
That's
an initial
barbed wire.
Move the picnic table. Because I agree, you could end up sitting on
you
the
got
fence.
Solar electric fence. Yeah.
So I think we should see about moving the picnic tables.
That seems like
that's the simplest.
Should we see about it or should we do it?
We're gonna do it. We're gonna.
All right.
We'll look at it all. We'll look at the big
yes,
picture.
Yes, we will.
But I think you should definitely move the picnic tables.
We'll try.
I even help.
All the concerned individuals at the museum that
that's right.
Do not like the picnic tables.
We'll drive over, right?
But we will figure it out.
I'll film in back my truck.
The liabilities on the township, though, so I think I think we should take a vote tonight to at least move the picnic tables.
Is that a motion?
Yes, I'll make that motion.
Just do it.
There's a one, two. What is there?
I don't know. There's one or two.
I think you guys just do it.
Okay,
leave it for now. Let's.
All right.
Let's Tom and I will go over there together.
Okay. Motion dies.
Okay.
Next up is reorganize municipal office lobby entry area. That's you.
The staff, myself, been noticing just really difficult when you come in the entrance of the building with that little table there, roll of papers, everything's getting mixed up, turned over. It's just been a mess. And Kim mentioned that Joanne, through the clean community, could get some kind of a information rack for to put the papers in and organize that up and get that table out of there. And then we'll have room. We could put a little guest book for signing for when people come in so we know who's coming in and out of the building, especially after hours. Just a little visitor's
book. I think you have to be careful about that with Daniel's Law.
Well, you always have to be careful.
With Daniel's Law, right? Because then if there's a sign-in book, then it becomes a public document. Then if the person, and you wouldn't know that, happens to be a retired police officer, someone goes to the portal, then the clerk's office is going to have to check to see who's in, and they have to take their name also.
What was that again? The police officer what?
If you're in the portal for Daniel's Law, right, if you're an active retired police officer or judge or something, and you happen to sign in, now the book's going to be a document, right, because it's a document. So then that may require the clerk then to go look at every time he signs in and see if they're in the portal, and they have to redact that person's name. So,
okay, well,
just something to think of. Hey, the state doesn't make it easy. I'm just telling you.
I was just thinking that through. Is it the address just, or is it the whole name? I mean, if they didn't put their address in, I thought that's what really needed to be blocked out was the address.
Well,
is it both?
You know, it depends on who's doing the redacting, right? So, I can't remember off the top of my head if it's name and address, but you know, it's just something to think about.
Yeah. Name and reason for visit.
So, what do you want to do? You want to just bring this back up again? Think about it.
Why? I don't want to think about it. I already thought about it.
I'm all in favor of doing that. I would just point out that door is going to be hopefully replaced, which would be a good time when stuff is being torn out anyway. Yeah. You know, the side lights are going to go to one side light and a different door, so that would be the time to.
Yeah, I don't think anything would be there. But we got to take some measurements and figure out what rack is going to even fit and where.
The door will be a little different.
Though. I'm leaving it kind of with the ladies to kind of figure out. If some of the stuff has to be there, some of it doesn't. It kind of brightened up there, maybe.
That's what I was thinking, too. I don't know if the paneling is...
We could paint some of it, maybe. It's a small area, so we should be able to handle it.
So the motion is to reorganize the municipal office lobby entry area, keep the township committee posted on what you're doing, and so that we can research, like, Daniel's Law or anything else that's maybe impacted.
Right, and have Joanne give us a... picture of what she's considering to use for a rack or what have you.
Joanne Fasinelli?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Is that a motion? So you're going to...
Yes. It's a motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Next up, I'm going to read a piece of correspondence. Mayor Kohler and Township Committee, please accept this letter as official notice of my retirement from my position as Municipal Clerk, Registrar, Board of Health Secretary, effective September 21st, 2023. As I have accrued vacation time, my final day in the office will be June 30th, 2023. It has been my pleasure to serve the residents of Lebanon Township over the past 19 years. I have had the honor of meeting and forming friendships with many special individuals, for which I will always be grateful. And just a little bit on Karen. She became, it looks like, deputy clerk in May of 1997. She was deputy clerk, received her clerk certification in 2002 and certified clerk certification in 2004, and then became our municipal clerk in July of 2004. Went on to receive a registrar certification, which is the vital statistics, the weddings, all of that. So she was into the continuous education. So overall, 25 years of dedicated service. And I have to say, Karen is a seasoned and principled clerk, and she's going to be, her institutional knowledge as a legacy member of this township is going to be sorely missed. So the attorney said we don't need to accept.
No, because what if she changes her mind?
Retirement. It's not a...
She could change her mind.
Yeah, she could. Well, she has until October 1st to change her mind if she wanted to.
Right.
Because that's when the PERS would kick in.
That's why you can't force someone to retire or unretire.
Okay.
Well, I just say deep regrets, most honorable clerk. She always put love in the township first.
As evidenced by how hard she worked on those plenary licenses.
And, you know, when I was mayor, when I was new, and I was mayor early, she made me look pretty good, or it would have looked pretty bad.
Yeah. Moment of silence. Okay.
Thank you.
Next up is presentation.
A follow-up from last meeting.
Yeah.
It's kind of related. We approved JPM. The JPM contract for a search?
Not really.
Pin edit.
Not yet.
Well, right, no, there was.
Whether that contract has been executed.
He was on vacation. He had a.
Right.
He
just got back.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. I was going to cover that.
He just got back.
In executive.
Today.
Well, we did that publicly.
Took a vote.
Yeah, well, we don't have the contract yet. So
right.
We don't
he was on vacation.
And that's my question.
Right. He just got
back. I'm only asking the public question.
Right.
We
just got back.
Publicly authorize the attorney to finalize a contract with JPM for a search for a new clerk.
Mm-hmm.
And that hasn't.
That's not finalized.
Right.
All right. So with that, we have presentation of the vouchers.
I have a couple here. The first one I have here is for Roselli, Griegel, Lozier, and Lazaro. And this is for outside of the retainer for complex matters, $1,793.75 for the professional services. I have another one here for Roselli, Griegel, Lazier, and Lazaro for legal services for April and May, which total a total of $5,000. I have one here for Dove Environmental Education, the aftercare program. The total cost for this is $1,590. I also have here a refund of construction escrow to Timothy Valero and Grace Bauer for $3,683.50, Block 24, Lot 5.09. I have another one for Common Sense for Animals, $2,337. The last one that I have is Borough of Washington for Animal Control Service, which is the third quarter due on July 1st for a total of $2,500.
Yep, I got.
No,
9 o'clock.
Okay.
Me?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Patriotic office cleaning, blanket PO, an amount of $1,565 even. Design garage doors, the police overhead door out back, $1,515 even. Econo signs, $1,001.31. Federal Express, don't need to put that one in, $34. Ally Griffith Trucking, diesel fuel. $3,171.83. L.I. Griffith Trucking again, gasoline, $2,149.38. Updike Lumber Company, entry doors, $2,265.28. Tilcon, riprap 12 inch, that's big stone, amount of $1,327.52. Warren Asphalt, $4,236.61. And that's all for me.
Okay, I have one for Statewide Insurance Fund for the fourth installment for workers' compensation and fourth installment for the umbrella policy assessment. $57,395.06. That's it for me. The total voucher list for the period ending June 21st, 2023 is $102,714.99. Can I get a motion to approve the voucher list?
I'll make a motion to approve the vouchers.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. With that, up next is the curator's report for the Township Committee meeting.
Yeah, I just want to add that the Wild Musconetcon exhibit will be on display through June 22nd, and their closing reception is on Thursday, June 22nd. And they're beginning to create an event down there, which is Historic New Hampton, Millstone and Milestones, and I think there's a target date. Not sure of that date, but it's the anniversary of the village 25th anniversary of being included on the National Register. So there'll be more information coming forward on that as we go along. And one other thing, there was an issue with the alarm, and I'm going to have to go to my emails list. Anyways, what apparently happened on Sunday, there was a loss of power at the museum, and Gina called, let me know about this on Tuesday, and the alarm just kept going and going. police weren't notified or anything, but because of the power outage, I believe that was the problem, according to the alarm people. I think Nina had to come and actually shut the alarm off because it was just going consistently. So I guess I'll try to follow up with the alarm company and see if there's we can do something about that in the future. So I just wanted to bring that to the historians and museum attention. That's all I have for tonight.
Okay. With that, do I have a motion to open a public comment for anything you want to talk about?
I'll make a motion to open up a public comment.
Any? All right, second.
Roll call.
No, I was going to. I had to second the motion. Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Come on up.
Come on up. Come on down.
Was that taxi? Oh.
Yeah.
Good evening. I'd like to start off with the Anthony plot for the open space.
State your name for a record.
You're just resident, non-resident. You're good.
Oh, yeah? No. You don't have to.
You don't have to.
Resident.
Yeah, if you would like to state your name. And
I was starting off. I didn't want to.
Go ahead, Matt.
Okay, thank you. I'm talking about the Anthony plot for the open space hunting. If we can just refer to, it's right in the hunting magazine, it's taking your kid hunting. The ages are 10 to 16 for your adolescent hunter. And as of there, we have an instructor course that you have to go and take. So I'm not sure if we're aware of that.
For the mentor or the adolescent?
That would be the 21-year-old.
Okay.
You would go get your course to become an instructor. Because okay. They want to make sure you're not a weirdo going into the woods. So.
Oh, I got you. Yeah.
But I'll leave this with you guys. It would help for a reference. Mm-hmm. But back to there. They recall open space, and if you look on the open space signs, they all say no hunting, except it says exemption for to come to the township. That's probably been there since 2017, hunting on that property, the Anthony plot, which was also the Fisher plot when it first started, because it was the 300 acres on the other side of this Category 1 trout stream. So it's kind of weird that we're going to have, there's no bridge to get to the other plot, and you're going to have to walk through a Category 1 trout stream with the little native trout. My neighbor actually just got that permit last year. He took his son over there and he goes, I didn't know you had to walk across 3 feet of water to get to the other side. Mm. And that's been open to shotgun too since 2017. They've given people permission on there.
Now, the township doesn't issue any shotgun permits.
Yeah.
If that's what you mean, I don't know who you're referring to then.
Well, there's a plot across from the stream. Some kid had that plot. And when he went across the stream, he said he got exempt for shotgun because he shot the deer there, and he had a shotgun. I have even had police reports of it.
I mean, if that's township property, then there's...
No, it's open space.
That's what I mean. If it's either township or... through
the county to get that, then.
The county would what?
It's county open space.
No, it's
township open space.
Yeah.
And we don't issue permits for...
It's public natural reserve, no hunting.
Right, but I don't believe... We didn't issue that permit that you're talking about for the shotgun.
Yeah, it's a police report I got. I can go get it. Because one kid was hunting on this side of the property, and when it was on the other side of the property, the Eustace property, that's 17 acres, they got a permit from the town. They go, we can get this deer with their shotguns in their hand. So someone was giving permission to people back in 2018. So, but there would have to be a bridge put across there, but now that you can't even do anything because of the Category 1 natural trout stream, they're literally at Camp Beisler. They took out the whole lake because the water was going over the waterfall, and the water that was coming out was getting too hot for the native trout, so they knocked that whole dam down there. So if they're knocking the dam down for the water for the native trout, it's kind of a little embarrassing that we're going to be walking across or dragging the dead deer across there. So it's just something to think about. And I'm just passionate about that land. That's where I've explored and gone my whole life. So I've always tried to protect that land and make sure no one was doing anything wrong. But here's the book with the instructor course and everything else. But, yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. You can leave it up here if you want.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Thank you.
Do you want it back?
No. Long-time hunter, so I know.
Okay.
It would help if we got that information about who gave the shotgun permit? Since
well,
we don't issue it.
I would like to be able to go to the mayor. So,
hi, mayor.
Who was mayor in 2000? Did they show you that they had a permit?
I got accosted by
three. It's a police report, he's saying.
Oh, it's a police report.
I had no gun. They're worried about big guys like this.
We got to find out from the police how that happened.
Yeah, 2018.
That guy doesn't even want hunting on his property if we're going to be buying it, so.
Okay.
Well, two different issues there, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Taking it. Any other public comment?
Seeing none.
Lori Hoffman, Buffalo Hollow Road. I will send you a personal email, all of you, concerning all the things you did on the historians. But I would like two things that you did, vouchers. What's the aftercare program?
Could you pull that microphone closer?
The aftercare program.
Oh, I got to go back to that. I didn't know what that was either. And the aftercare, it's a program that is done through Clean Communities, I believe, through Joanne Fasinelli. And it's an aftercare program, and it's environmentally connected. They learn at
Who?
The program.
Who? I've never seen anything on
Dove
the website.
Dove Environmental, wasn't that the company?
I've never seen anything for an aftercare program.
Well.
So that's the thing, it's not advertised to our residents. Who gets to choose who goes there? And another one.
If you bear with me, I'll go over this with you.
Well, I have another one, the Common Sense for Animals. That was over $2,000.
A person died, and there were cats mm-hmm. in the house. And by law, we have to take care of all of those cats. I got the call from the police, and they told me that the bill would be coming for whatever we owed by statute.
So they called in Common Sense, or does that go through?
No, it goes through. It was all through the proper channels. The police handled the call.
So the aftercare program, what the cost was for, is for the month of March, April, May, and June. And it's the department head is Karen Sandors here, signed. First time I saw it as well, and it's addressed to Joanne Fasinelli. And we approved it in our voucher list. So there's a program that's happening. I don't know if it's through the environmental open space or who, but it relates to environmental education.
Maybe rabid animals or something?
No, it's something with kids. If an aftercare program, I would think it's...
Why are we engaging conversation?
If he's teaching it. Okay, so the person to go to would be Karen or Joanne?
I think this is handled through the Clean Community Grant.
Well, someone's sponsoring it.
Is that a picture of a raccoon on there?
Yes.
The Clean Communities is paying for it.
Right.
But somebody's putting on some kind of program.
It's at the YMC Camp Ernie. It's where it's at. Advantage After Care Program. It's also at the Valley View School. And it was requested by YMC Advantage After Care Program Director. And individuals, I believe.
So it's only for the kids that go to aftercare.
Right. But it's paid for by...
I know who you're saying it pays for, but it's like, who is it open up to? So it's only for kids that go to the aftercare program at the school. Okay.
And what do you want me to do with this?
No, I just wanted to know what it was, because I never heard about it. An aftercare program.
What's the raccoon picture for that?
It's probably a wildlife, like aftercare. They teach them about wildlife is what it looked like. I don't know.
Like to stay away from raccoons? Because of rabies.
Could be.
There you go.
Vectors.
That was great.
Here comes Victor. Hi. It's okay.
Okay. My name is Victor. I live in the township. I have a few questions for y'all. The resolution for the historians where you voted $1,000 from a trust account. I'm a historian for my own personal understanding. There was a 3-2 vote. And the way this grant, this trust works, what I understand, that the historians vote to move it up to you all. Then you all vote whether we can do it or not. It requires both votes to be affirmative in order for it to go. Now, I don't understand why it was 3-2, why it wasn't 5-0.
Well, that was the piece on the picnic that was 3-2, if I recall correctly.
The picnic was
the other one.
The picnic was erased from that resolution.
Oh, okay, yeah, you're right.
I understand correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Tom, I think you voted no.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask why?
I thought that the $200 was. I didn't agree to holding back the $200.
That's what I figured. Mm-hmm. Mike, you voted no. Why?
I voted yes.
Who voted no?
I voted no.
Well, excuse me, Mike, I apologize. Why'd you vote no?
For the same reason.
Okay. Because I know we went through the right process, and I'm just trying to figure out why it wasn't 5-0. I got a few others. Now, we're worried about little kids falling off a cliff down there at the museum. Who gave the permission to put the picnic tables there to start with? Who the hell is running this program over there? Is anybody overseeing it? Go ahead, you had your mouth open.
I believe the picnic tables were there before
no.
I was on the committee.
No, sir. Not in gravel like that.
I'm not saying they were in the location that they are now. I'm saying they were. There used to be a garden there. There were picnic tables there.
Those picnic tables were old. These are newer.
No, these are
they
the
were in pretty rough shape. But still at all, who gave them permission to put them where they are in the gravel, which is going to cause problems? This museum is running amok on some of the stuff. And we already had a discussion on this once. You're part of the reason why it is. So I hope in the future we don't have this problem. You people oversee what's going on. And it seems that there is no control there. And I'm not saying they're doing a bad job. Some of the things they're doing are fantastic. But when you got this stuff going on where you put picnic tables where kids can get hurt, somebody should have been overseeing it. Let's see, Brian. I can't let you get away with being happy today. We're worried about what's in the lobby. Some of the people can't even make it to the lobby. They're going to trip over the sidewalks. The handrail on the side has been broken. I reported that stuff back a good 5 years ago when Pat asked me to say what needed to be done there. So is anything going to be done?
I talked to Warren probably around the last meeting, because he had gone to get some prices on redoing the rails out there, and then it kind of got lost in the shuffle, so he's going to revisit that. And the thought is to sleeve the post and redo the handrail part of that.
I don't think it would cost all that much to
No, I don't
to
think
do
so
it.
Either, but that was the original plan from...
It's going to cost a lot more for tweezers to take the splinters out.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. As a matter of fact, they went down to the library and did a fantastic job on the sidewalk. I just want to make sure that was noted. Did I have one more? Oh, yes, I did. One more. Tom, you said about the well pump and stuff that, you know, you're going to do this, and that, and that. And then you said that the historians would be able to discuss it next year.
Yeah.
We didn't discuss it this year.
I believe I had a casual conversation after a meeting about the concerns of the well pump.
Concerns, yes. Okay. Solutions, no.
And since we have been elected by you, we've chosen to change this, and we went ahead and moved forward. So we're going to do what we said we're going to do. We're going to put the stone down. If the historians or the museum curator want to get involved next year at budget time, they can put a number together and figure what they want to do. But right now, we're going to eliminate the problem.
I still think, as Brian would say and Mike said, include all the
people. The other thing, when I make a vote, I don't have to tell you why, but I did answer you today.
I think as a public representative, each
and every
one of you should have to
define your
vote. I don't
have to tell you what my reasoning behind it is.
Each and every one of you.
But out of courtesy, I did.
If you want our votes next year, I think that's only appropriate.
I'm just letting you know.
I'm just letting you know how the public feels about secret votes.
Okay.
We did that with the business administrator.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, Tom. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned a couple of times about the space on the walkway going into the library, and I just want to thank whoever is
DPW
responsible
and
for having that done.
Brian got
that
behind that. And
it, I was
moved
there the other
forward.
Day, and it's nice to see that it has been filled in, and I do appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Thanks, Award, DPW.
Yeah.
Mark, I'm a resident. Involved in other applications, other towns, and one thing came up with the Amazon effect. Towns are not prepared to deal with these vans in their ordinances, in the zoning ordinances, because it's something they haven't kept up with. So what's going on, and I'm sure our ordinance is not prepared, and we do have a master plan being looked at and whatnot like that, so I'll just give you the information. What's going on is they're going into these industrial areas or anywhere that has a parking lot, and they're saying they're going to use the building for the business of whatever that is, but then they pack in however many they can jam in there, the vans, the delivery vans. So it's basically become a depot, a truck depot, compared to utilizing a building for the purpose of the building and having vehicles for that.
The library, that happened.
Yeah, so that's, you know, just to give you as a suggestion that to be addressed, because they're knocking buildings down just to have that parking space. They're doing all kinds of stuff in these industrial areas because they're so desperate to find areas for delivery trucks to help, you know, for locations for these mega warehouses of Amazon's. So that's one thing. I think at the budget, I'm just going to bounce around here, so forgive me for this, but on the budget meeting, we had and CFO, the money went up on the budget for the CFO salary, and I believe it was mentioned that there's other tasks that he's going to be doing this year for that additional money.
Nothing's been done with that. So that's been frozen. But nothing's been done with that.
Okay. So we don't know what those tasks are?
We haven't done anything with that.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
In reference to JPM, I wasn't here. I listened to the audio, but I wasn't here with the executive, and there's action taken. I don't know if you want to elaborate to the public for what that was, or not really, because you're still processing.
You got the action item that came out of executive session. It's basically that we authorized up to $10,000 for the search, whatever the wording was, as we came out of executive.
Okay. So this is more of a policy issue for the town. And you don't have to comment. I'm just saying. So when we go, you know, as homeowners or anything, business, anything like that, we always get a couple quotes, whether we're doing a roof, sidewalk, you know, not sidewalk, but any house improvements or a business, you always get a couple quotes. So policy-wise, I know 11-6.1, Mark mentioned, and if it's the $6,600 threshold above, it's recommended to get two quotes.
Unless it's professional services.
Professional services,
yeah.
Different?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We have to protect ourselves.
Yeah, you make your own laws, yeah. So, you killed that one. But anyway, it'd be good policy just to also not just take the first one out of the bag and do some vetting and research and...
What makes you think we didn't?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Don't you think that, you know, I think that when we're working...
We didn't have any discussion, so I don't know.
It was executive session, so there wouldn't be any discussion. But that's why we went into executive session, to discuss it, mm-hmm. and review it and beat it to death and make a decision.
Okay, I'm glad you're clarifying that, because now we know.
Good.
And we won't have to ask that again.
In my opinion, there's very few companies that do what this JPM does. And, in fact, it was vetted very well by many members on this committee that this was an excellent group to begin with.
I don't know anything about them. It's just a policy. It's just, you know, you always look for a few other bids, and it wasn't, you know, I'm not in the executive, luckily. So I'm glad you guys are doing it. And the only reason I'm up here is because of recent things that happened last year. We just don't want to have, I don't want to have, like, we didn't know. And actions are taken that affect the town's quality of life.
Well, we've repealed.
Otherwise, we wouldn't even be, most of us wouldn't even be here.
We repealed the business administrator ordinance, so that takes something off the table right now.
Thank you. In a reference to the some of these longtime professionals, I had a situation in my business where I had an electrician for many years and I knew him, but then I had a big job coming up, so I went out and put another quote out. It ended up being less money and I got more service because I just went through that process. So when you get somebody that's been here for 20 years or 10 years or 5 years, just as a policy, and I don't know anything about CFO or the auditor or anything like that, it's just as a policy matter to revisit that every now and then. And that's all I got. Thank you.
Thanks. Any other public comment for anything you want to talk about?
Close.
Seeing none, can I get a motion to close public comment?
I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. And with that, we are going into executive session resolution number 83-2023, and it's not potential litigation, it's litigation. Block 51, lot 14.05, it was changed afterwards. And we're also going to be talking about some personnel issues.
Any action to the
I don't think so at this point. This is going to be a lot of discussion. Okay.
Good night, y'all.
I'll make a motion for resolution 83-2023 to go into executive session.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Thank you.
I put 18 years.